Today on Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth discussion on the Republic of the Cameroon. President Paul Biya, one of only two presidents the nation has known, is facing a social and political crisis between the English-speaking and French-speaking parts of his nation. So, what are the fundamental root causes of the growing crisis? That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I am Shaka Sali.
On the continent and elsewhere, I'm Ayan Bior, your social media reporter.
Today, it's the Anglophone social and political crisis in the Cameroon.
And coming up later, our audience has weighed in on our topic through emails, Facebook, and Twitter comments. And we'll reveal some of them ahead on Straight Talk Africa.
My colleague Paul Sisco has more on the Anglophone crisis in the Cameroon.
Cameroon is often described as Africa in miniature, primarily because of its rich cultural and geographical diversity. But the Africa in miniature designation might also apply to Cameroon's growing social unrest, persistent corruption and poverty, despite great natural and human resources, and its leadership deficit. Since 1982, when President Ahmadou Ahidjo, in power since independence in 1960, resigned, handing over power to President Biya, Biya and his Cameroon People's Democratic Movement Party have governed Cameroon with a firm hand. Today, unrest in Cameroon is reaching crisis proportions, as the people in the nation's English-speaking regions say they are becoming increasingly marginalized by the Francophone government in Yaoundé. The English-speaking regions want greater decentralization of the government or separation and independence from the mostly Francophone country and government. Cameroonian activist Pamelo Anjen.
Because, of course, there is a saying that no society gets the leadership it desires. Rather, you get what you deserve.
Absolutely. And if Cameroonians believe that that's what they deserve, then that's what they deserve. But I can see that people from southern Cameroon have said, no, we don't deserve this leader, and I'm really proud of them for standing up. Now, I need the people from East Cameroon to wake up and say, you know what, let's piggyback on what the southern Cameroonians are doing. Why do we have to settle for this? I am not settling. I don't believe in settling. You see something, you do something.
A widespread strike in English Cameroon is entering its sixth month. Schools in those areas remain shut and businesses are paralyzed. A market was burned in the northwestern town of Kumbu Saturday, and analysts say the country's digital economy is losing billions since the government imposed an online blackout 3 months ago in hopes of calming tensions by crushing dissent. The government blames secessionist groups in English-speaking zones. Especially hard hit by the discord are students and young entrepreneurs. Churchill Mambi Nanji, founder of an online job website, drives 30 kilometers from Wea, the capital of the southwest region of Cameroon, every day to New Bonico in the Francophone region to get internet access for his startup.
So we are losing money. My platform, Joku.com, it depends on venture capital. And before now, we were already making some inroads to get investors and to make Cameroon attractive. But right now, investors now are scared to invest their money into Cameroon, especially into our businesses, because they're scared. They don't know what next the government could do.
This computer developer moved from his home in an English-speaking territory after losing all his clients because of the internet shutdown. He says the shutdown is far too broad, and he's starting over in Francophone Douala.
Maybe they forgot how to block just WhatsApp or just Facebook or just whatever they were targeting and decided to go for the long shot, like everything. And now the banks, the startups, the companies that are stable are in this situation where there is no internet.
English is spoken by about 20% of the population and French in 8 of Cameroon's 10 regions. President Biya blames the unrest on extremists and separatist organizations. His government has been recruiting more bilingual teachers and Anglophone judicial officers, But the predominance of French speakers at the highest levels of government is a challenging grievance difficult to address. Paul Sisko, VOA News, Washington.
Thank you very much, Paul, for that report. And joining us here in our Washington studio is Hammon Bobga Mbuton, president of the Northwest Lawyers Association in the Cameroon. Well, I have to say, Hammon, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa for the first time.
I'm a lot more honored, it being my first time, and that we are discussing serious issues that touch the livelihood of our people.
You're most welcome, sir.
Thank you.
And Eric Chinje, Chief Executive Officer, Africa Media Initiative, joins us live via Skype from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. Well, good evening, Chinje.
Good evening, Chaka, and glad to be here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you back on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, sir.
You're most welcome. On a programming note, the Cameroonian Minister of Communication and Government Spokesman, Issa Chiroma Bakare, had agreed to be a guest on today's program, but due to last-minute scheduling priorities, he could not participate. Well, later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111, and your country code is 1. Let me come back to you immediately.
Yep.
Very, very briefly, really, what is happening in the land of Manu Dibango, among others, the Makossa Man, the African soccer champions, to boot?
Well, the smooth music of Manu Dibango and the wriggling of Manga Ungene have all gone. We are in a crisis revisiting the foundation of the democratic society that emerged from colonialism and was moving into building a two-state federation, which obviously failed from the beginning and was put down very strongly by Ahidjo, succeeded by Biya, with even a much stronger hand on the southern Cameroonians. And today, the rhizome has now showed its leaves outside and its thorns, and nobody can walk the land of southern Cameroon easily anymore.
Eric, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, obviously.
Cameroon, of course, is one of those very few countries on the African continent that has never at least experienced a successful military coup, and therefore has really had what one would call stability since independence in 1960. You've also had only two presidents to date. What's the problem?
Well, obviously it is, because what you have then is we develop systems, political systems, and regimes that become ossified. They become strong as bones, and they do not change easily. It's like a tree trunk that you could modify when it's still a young tree, but as it gets harder and older, you can change it. And that's precisely where Cameroon is today. We have an ossified system, a system that's become too hardened, and it's impossible to change. And when it gets to that, it becomes a little dangerous, because change might actually only come through some form of violence to that state. It's like trying to bend a tree that is hardened up. If you don't, you may need an axe to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the danger we face, that Cameroon has gotten to a point where those who govern cannot be heard by those who are governed. Cameroon is a young nation with an average age of about 22, and you have leaders with an average age of about 67, 68. The dialogue is almost inexistent between the two. And we pray that the country does not, we do not need violence to change it. Because change is inevitable. So we're hopeful. If you go back to the problems we are talking about in this program, you'll see why it is so difficult to change, because dialogue is almost impossible between those who've held on to this system for so long and those who think there ought to be very modest changes. If you hear about what really is at the heart of this problem, Shaka, you will be shocked that we are where we are today. This government should have known what to do. It unfortunately doesn't. And it's because of this ossification I'm talking about, this hardening of systems, this inability to have a smooth, fresh, friendly, and hopeful dialogue.
Very interesting. Hamon, we're talking about Anglophone and Francophone. For an ordinary person in the audience, frankly, what does that mean? Why should we be talking about differences between Anglophone and Francophone, and probably, as someone would say, not talk about problems of Bantuphone, given the fact that historically Cameroon is the organic origin of the Bantu?
I appreciate that. But you see, the problem is completely misunderstood by lots of people. This problem, I mean, the classification of Francophone, Anglophone, is even a means, a linguistic tool to denature the problem. The real problem we are facing is that it's a question of political identity of Southern Cameroonians, whom the government finds convenient to call Anglophones, and on that account calls the people of the Republic of Cameroon Francophones. In Nigeria, there are more French-speaking people than in Cameroon, I want to say. And the problem is not a linguistic problem. It is a fundamental political problem. And that is why 98% of the population is asking for outright independence or a return to discussion of the feasibility of having a federation, if that could still work. I agree with Brother Eric Chinje that there's been some ossification, and the inertia in which the government finds itself blocks communication completely. But we must be careful here. One thing is very clear. If we do not go back to the roots of this problem, we'll never solve it. And the roots are the right to independence of Southern Cameroonians. Number two, the conditionality which the Republic of Cameroon went into in order to have its independence, the cooperation agreement with France. I do not quite agree on the old tree concept of Eric Chinje. I believe the cooperation agreement, which only gave a semblance of independence to the Republic of Cameroon, is actually what is fueling the problem in Cameroon. It has something to do with international political economy beyond just the people of Southern Cameroon and the people of the Republic of Cameroon.
Very interesting. Now we'll pause for a short break, but first a reminder that Straight Talk Africa is now streaming on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa and watch our show live, and don't forget to share it with your friends. Also, we are on Twitter and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your question or comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Cameroon. We'll put some of your tweets on air later in the show. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
We are able to touch on the things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githu Yuward. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. Eric, you heard, of course, your compatriot talking about the key word, independence. Let's go back to the days when the Cameroons were, in fact, under a European colonial power by the name Germany. Germany loses the First World War, and the Cameroons are split into two. Southern Cameroon under the English or the British, and of course, Western Cameroon under the French. Any particular reason why the League of Nations mandate or the United Nations trusteeship treated the Cameroons differently, for example, from the other colonies that were under the colonial power of Germany? We're talking about Togo, Tanganyika. What about that?
Yes, thanks, Shaka. What your question actually would have us address the fundamental issues about what Cameroon is going through right now. You know, that the historical dimensions of the problem, that the political dimensions of the problem, as my brother Bobga said, and there are the cultural dimensions of it. And, you know, to reduce the problem of Cameroon to a simple linguistic divide is to completely miss the point. And I think, you know, the only reason the government of Cameroon might have done that is to dismiss the full nature of the problem with regard to the rest of Cameroon. You know, I mean, the problem currently affects 20% of the population of the country. Anglophone Cameroon constitutes about 20%. So, if the rest of the country, 80%, were catching on to the fundamental aspects of this problem, then it would become a big problem for the government. So they had to reduce it to what we hear today as a linguistic problem. But it's a deeper problem than that. And it's, having said what I've said about the government, I'll say the same thing about the demand for independence, which we're hearing about every day and louder by the day. And the reason for that, again, is because the government is refusing to deal with the problem as it is. We do not need another independent banana republic of the nature we've seen in Sudan. We do not need, you know, so this independence, while it is a convenient solution, I think it is a solution because this regime is totally incapable of dealing with a problem that should have left a country more united, not less united, should have left Cameroon a stronger nation, not the weak nation in which nobody believes right now, no investor would want to come to Cameroon. There's a fundamental problem here, which I think we need to address. And it goes back to what you've just asked. Cameroon was, Cameroon, the larger Cameroon that existed under the Germans, had us all in one geographical space. And that fact has not changed. And Cameroon should not change because the French and the English and some international community that had no real legitimacy in that part of the world decided that it would be two countries. So I am fundamentally against independence. I am totally for a power, you know, taking those measures that will bring a country together, bring children of the same, you know, in most cases, you'd realize that we can trace our roots to the same group of people. That group should be brought together, held together, for the right reasons. We have all the wrong reasons that this government has promoted, and that's why Cameroon is in the crisis it is in now. That is why that problem is being defined as a linguistic problem in some cases. It's being defined as obviously a cultural problem. And when you touch on a people's culture, you destroy them. And this government seems to be intent on destroying the peoples of, you know, the culture of a people. And if you do that, they fight back. So the fighting we're seeing is an assertion by the Cameroonian people, especially the Anglophone people, of a culture that they want to hold on to because that's what defines them. Unfortunately or fortunately, that culture has been defined not only by what is African, but by also what was inherited through the colonial period.
Very interesting.
So struggling for something, for a right that we seem to be losing. And the elements of it are very simple to identify. If you want me to, let me just very quickly state what these elements are. You cannot, our schools perpetuate our culture. And you cannot come to those schools and say, no, well, you all speak English, but we're going to send in French teachers to teach you. Our judicial system, an important guarantor of our culture. You cannot come in and say, well, you know, that culture is built on a system of laws that we refer to as common law, and you say, well, no, we will not, we will disregard that, and we will introduce a new legal system based on the Napoleonic Code. So, these are so fundamental to the preservation of our culture that trying to dismiss them is what has created this pushback, this fighting back. And I'm saying we can resolve those two issues and we can go beyond that and, you know, resolve, learn the lessons of a system that seemed to work back then. I'll give you a number of them. We had those integrity in our educational system, integrity in our legal system. People were punished for corruption. Now nobody is punished for corruption in Cameroon. And when you hear that some people have been thrown in jail, high-level people have been thrown in jail, it's inevitably under circumstances that are murky at best. And we don't know if they're being punished because they've stolen or they're being punished because they're political. So the judicial system, there's very little trust in the judicial system. Our educational system, we all doubt its validity. We had a range of things that worked in Anglophone Cameroon. We had sanitary inspectors to ensure that cleanliness was a part of that culture. We had vehicle inspection officers when we started getting cars in Cameroon to ensure that the cars we had were not public killers. Not mechanical bombs and destructive elements. Cars on the roads had to be roadworthy, so we had sanitary inspectors. We had state corporations that were profitable for the most part. Now, state corporations are seen as a source for wealth in private pockets. These are the things that we are rejecting. And we are saying Cameroon needs to go back to those things. And the government ought to be listening. And that's what we're demanding.
Very interesting. Of course, you heard your colleagues talk about how, for him, really, it's not the issue of independence. He likes to retain a single Cameroon, but probably a Cameroon that obviously is made better, probably for everybody, so that, we do have there something close to social economic justice for all. What about you? Even though historically we know that when it came to independence, the English-speaking Cameroon was given only two options, either to join neighboring Nigeria, which had been independent a year earlier, or to join Francophone or the French Cameroon.
Yeah, I do not quite agree with Mr. Eric Chinje. Because we cannot discuss the political identity of a people on the basis of convenience of history. The history has to resonate with the legality and the legitimacy. Here, this is what happened. The German Cameroon that most people like Eric use as a foundation for continuation of this relationship was definitively liquidated when they were defeated in the First World War. And in the Second World War, we actually had Cameroonians independently from Southern Cameroon or the British Cameroons and independently from the French Cameroon fight in the Second World War. My uncle went to Burma. So what
on,
is...
On whose behalf?
On behalf of the British government, while his counterparts from East Cameroon went to war as French soldiers. So this is the situation.
Which part of French soldiers? We're talking about some sort of two regimes at this time. You do have De Gaulle, General De Gaulle in exile, and of course he had followers.
In fact, actually, that is...
Let me just come in there.
It's in fact, what we are suffering is been described by Richard Johnson as Gaullist Africa. But I am saying it is not simply the system of government that disenchants some people. It is the right to identity and access to independent statehood. And this does not derogate from the fact that if our identity is given to us, we can sit on the negotiation table and still become one country. That is still feasible. Senegambia, they tried it.
For a
but
short time.
You cannot.
You can talk about Tanzania, which of course is the result of mainland Tanganyika and the islands of Zanzibar.
Exactly. You cannot strip a person naked from the perspective of independence and swallow him into an independent state. You just simply make the lesser person of that new state. And in any case, the legality of the Southern Cameroon is not in question. The resolution, UN Resolution 1608, is very clear. These people were entitled to independence. But because the Allied powers were afraid of the implantation of communism in the new state of Southern Cameroon, they manipulated at the Security Council that we can only get independent with by joining Nigeria or the Republic of Cameroon, which were already securely adopting the Western system. And on that account, we are saying that the Southern Cameroonians were extremely magnanimous because, remember, Foncha expressly asked for the third option, which was for us to become independent. But it was rejected by the Brits. In fact, they treated Foncha in a very shabby way on account of his asking for outright independence.
Who was Foncha?
Foncha was the prime minister as at the eve of independence. In fact, he ran the internal self-government under British supervision in the run-up to independence. And what complicates issues is that the real source of political subjugation veiled is the Accord de Coopération, which makes Cameroon dressed up like an independent state when it is not. Its economy, its military, our money is deposited not in the central bank but in the treasury of France, even with the coming of the euro. So we think that the independence issue must be discussed in the context of what is legal, what is legitimate, and what is the wish of the people concerned in Yugoslavia. We had states that were together, break off, and form new states. Why is it not possible with us?
We'll come back to that later, because obviously the people of Somaliland must be listening to you very, very keenly.
Yeah.
You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment, including our social media segment. So please, don't go away.
Today's youth are not just the next generation of African leaders. They are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them. Today, not tomorrow. So let's connect. Let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies.
innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known.
It's Upfront every Wednesday, 1730 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on The Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githiri-Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. It's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Ayen Bior. Take it away, Ayen.
Thanks, Shaka. Cameroon is in the midst of an Anglophone crisis. The nation's English-speaking minority regions say they are being politically and economically marginalized by the Francophone government. This leads us to our question of the week, which asks, do you feel Cameroon's English-speaking people are being marginalized by the government? Well, before we begin, I'd like to thank all of you for using our social media platforms to communicate with us. And another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Use the hashtag VOA Cameroon. And if you haven't yet, please follow us at VOA Shaka. And speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Minmosi, who says, interesting, not just a feel, a matter of fact. English is not a real language, and both of them are colonization dialect. Who's in control? All right. Well, we have another tweet from Indahoon, who writes, I am from Somalia, and I think Cameroon's French-speaking environment might lead to discrimination. Well, now let's go to our comment of the week from Facebook fan Mohamed Ahmed Mansour in Monrovia, Liberia, who writes, yes, I think the Cameroonian government should do more to unite its people from both languages. The Bamenda protests, which turned violent, were staged by aggrieved English-speaking Cameroonian youth, which is part of an uprising against what is seen as the neglect of people of the southwest and northwest regions of Cameroon, former British colonies. Very interesting. Now let's go to another comment from Facebook fan Othin Jeremiah, who writes, no, they are not being marginalized. They should learn to speak French. Just like in Tanzania, if you can only speak English and not Kiswahili, which is spoken by the majority, you feel marginalized. A person who only speaks Kiswahili in Tanzania has more chances than you because it's understood by the majority in Tanzania. All right. Now, our last Facebook comment comes from Aponi Jerry, who writes, I believe they are being marginalized because of the resources are found in the English-speaking region, yet the French side is benefiting more in terms of regional imbalances. Well, thank you, everyone, for such a wide range of interesting comments, and we appreciate all of the audience feedback, so please keep them coming. And if you're a new fan, drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com, or post your comment on our Facebook page. Enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Interact with our show as it's streaming live. And be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV2 Africa and follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Go to VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website, or you can simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll talk about the spring meetings of the World Bank Group and the International Monetary Fund. The global economy and international development are among the key topics to be discussed on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Well, that's all for today's social media segment. Shaka, you and the guests have a lot of social media comments to discuss. Back to you.
Well, thank you very much, Ian, for sharing some of the social media reaction with us. Welcome back to the Anglophone social and political crisis in the Cameroon. Our guests for today are Harmony Bogba Mbuton and Eric Chinje, who joins us via Skype live from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. Cameroonian Minister of Communication and Government Spokesman Issa Chiroma Bakare had a last-minute scheduling conflict and could not join us on today's program. Well, gentlemen, I have to say again that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Eric,
in Nairobi, you obviously must have either watched or listened to the social media reaction.
Absolutely, Shaka, and there were very interesting reactions. A Twitter feed I read here was that we cannot dialogue with the present government. And in many ways, I totally agree with that. I believe that the government has shown its inability to deal with this problem. And until some fresh thinking ideas can be injected into the system, I don't think we're going to find a solution to this. And as I said at the beginning, I hope it does not take a real revolution for that to happen. We've come close to that edge. And of course, the government had the power to quiet it, to send in its troops, to beat up people, to try to bribe some, to ultimately dialogue, and in the end, decide that those it was dialoguing with were not Cameroonians enough, and threw them in jail. And they still are in jail. And this is revolting to every Cameroonian I know who understands what's going on. These guys should be out of jail. You know, Dr. Fontem should be out of jail. Barrister Bala should be out of jail. The leaders of this movement should be out of jail today. But having said that, so I'm in agreement with the whoever it is that tweeted that we cannot dialogue with this government. There are fundamental issues that, again, and I want to go back to the issue of independence. It's going to continue to keep the, you know, put the dialogue in a context that could keep us going until the chickens come home and nothing and solutions may not be found. The reason I say this is simple. I think everybody wants independence. I want my independence of thought. I want my independence of action. But when it comes to these political entities, there's a whole lot more than some very, you know, basic things that need to be taken into consideration. One of them, as far as I'm concerned, is why is English, you know, English or French, what should determine nationhood in Africa? Why should that be? Where are the African languages? And what's the power of these languages? And those African cultures, we talk about culture. What's happening to the African cultures? And why can't they determine the nations of Africa? If we use culture as a determining factor, African culture, I think the map of Africa would be totally different. Isn't it time we thought about that and reconstructed the continent based on the African cultures? So, you know, I think the notion of independence is very good. But I think, you know, independence constitutes or should take into account geography, should take into account culture, should take into account the economy, the politics, and social cohesion. These are the kinds of things that need to be taken into account. And having said that, I'll move away for now from the independence debate. It's a strong debate in Cameroon. It's one that we should have. It's one that should be encouraged. Ultimately, if a vote has to take place, let it take place. But I am one Cameroonian who says no to independence at this time. And I want to be convinced that the independence for Southern Cameroons is the answer to this. And I'm sure there are many who think like me. So let's have a quiet, dispassionate dialogue about independence and then agree or not that that's the route we want to take. But nobody has a right to tell me I'm not Cameroonian, 100%. Nobody. Whether you're Biya on the one hand or Obobga on the other.
You know, but
I want us to have a genuine, intelligent, dispassionate discussion on the issue of independence. So let me move away from that for a moment and to say that what is happening in Cameroon today should be of interest to the entire world. People should be looking at how cultures coexist. People should be looking at this, especially Africans, to look to see how poor governance can completely change the nature of national cohesion and result in the kinds of outcomes we're seeing on this continent. I have been closely involved at one point with the leadership of South Sudan, closely involved with the leadership of Liberia, closely involved with the leadership of the of Congo, the Democratic Republic. And in all of this, I see the same things over and over. And if we're not careful, if this government is not careful, we might see the same outcomes in Cameroon. And I say no to that. We can talk intelligently, dispassionately, and move this country into a situation of greater unity, more cohesion, and a stronger economic entity with the wealth that we have in Cameroon today. We can become a flagship of the continent, a light on the on Mount Cameroon for all Africa to see.
Very interesting. Eric. What about you, Hamoud? What about you? I mean, let's face it, we have to face the fact that there is one Cameroon under a president, Paul Obiya, since 1982. Isn't it possible that perhaps with that Cameroon that you actually have, you can figure out a way how to improve things so that you can live together? Because there is a saying, by the way, that you go to war with the army that you have rather than the one that you wish you had.
I agree with you, and I don't like to be misunderstood. My point is this, and I've taken concrete steps for verification of this position. Does there exist an act of union between the Republic of Cameroon and Southern Cameroons? This I say against the background of the fact that since the 12th of July, I, as one of the leaders of the common law lawyers, have filed an action in the Constitutional Council of the Republic of Cameroon. Mm-hmm. It's a hot potato that even in the Alps in winter does not lose its heat. The government cannot touch it because that's where the truth will pop out. At the United Nations Secretariat, if there was that act of union, pursuant to Section 76B of the United Nations Charter, somebody would just go and pick it there and say, can you zip your mouth, Harmony? There's an act of union, but none exist.
What does the AU say, the African Union, on that?
The AU, I will just take you to the Article 4B of the Constitutive Act of the African Union. It says it very simply. Countries are going to retain their boundaries that they obtained from the colonial masters. That is the law in African Union. If the Republic of Cameroon had its independence on 1st of January, its boundaries were defined. Nigeria had its own on the 1st of October 1960. The boundaries were defined. The area which from the Atlantic in between Nigeria and the Republic of Cameroon is where Southern Cameroon is found, with clearly marked international boundaries. One of the things we have to understand is that I would not mind if our independence is granted to us and then we sit down with reasonable French-speaking Cameroonians as two states of equal status and negotiate our union, because that was the intent at Fumban. But because there was the mischief of recolonizing us using the mask of the Republic of Cameroon, it was frustrated through a conspiracy of the Brits and the French. Good and fine. You cannot get into a political alchemistry by trying to have a perfect solution from water and oil. Mm. It does not work. So, with all due respect to my older brother, Eric Chinje, it is pertinent that we clean up the uncompleted experiment in Fumban, and we can, I'm not looking only at Cameroon and West Cameroon. I want the whole Central African sub-region to become a nation. Yes.
We should be probably talking about removing these artificial boundaries,
yes,
which in fact were bequeathed to us by colonialism.
Yes, we keep focusing on Biya and his government. Those are puppets of France. They're not part of, they're not an African representative.
Unfortunately, the time happens not to be our best ally. A reminder that you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. This country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please, don't go away.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on the Voice of America. For more information, visit our website at www.voanews.com/African Beat.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook. Keywords, Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidiyewat. And of course, welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. Now, Eric, you know as well as I do that no society is static. Everything is dynamic, really. Mm-hmm. When you think about the proliferation of social media and the changing demographics in the Cameroon, what do you think is likely to happen?
I think what we're seeing are the manifestations of incompetence. That's what it is. We have a totally incompetent government that seriously does not deserve to lead 24 million Cameroonians. That's what I think. We have a gerontocracy of people who essentially continue to control the reins of government over a young nation. Again, that's a problem. I keep looking at what unites us as Cameroonians, and I look at what divides us as Cameroonians, and I come out on the side of a united, strong Cameroon. I look at language. You could decide that language divides us, but that's English and French. There are hordes of African languages that, in their various formulas, unite us. You can look at poor governance and what it has done to our legal systems and our educational systems and the corruption. All of that under governance, they divide us. But we can also look at our geography. We can look at our economy and the potential that comes out of that economy. We can look at our social interactions. These things are more powerful and they unite us. So again, I don't want to make this about an argument about independence. We will have that discussion, my brother, Harmony, and the rest of us. We will have that discussion, or we should have that discussion, be willing to agree to disagree if we must, and ultimately let the majority win. So that is, you know, but it's important because this is what seems to stand between a very strong leadership of Southern Cameroons and the government of the nation of Cameroon. This is what seems to stand between, you know, right now. But we should not forget, you know, these things I've mentioned. The poor governance, should that be a reason why I should not be a Cameroonian? Because a weak, poor, a weak leadership is in place without the right ideas? Is that what should stop me from being a fully a Cameroonian that owns his nationality with pride? Should the fact that one person speaks French and the other speaks English be a reason for me not to lay claim to my Cameroonhood? I don't think so, because we can all learn the French and English languages. We can resolve that if we had a visionary leadership. We can resolve all the issues we're talking about with good leaders, with good governance. So, you know, but I think there's a lot more to be gained as a united nation, as a strong, trying to build a strong economy. If we had the right ideas, the right leadership, good governance, both economic and political governance, I think we'll do just well. And with the pride of Africa, as we should be, because we are African miniature. My take on it is we've got a problem that can be resolved, but unfortunately, our government is not up to the task, and we may end up with a country that confirms what is seen, what seems to be the reality in Africa. You know, more war, more poverty, more division, more hunger. This is what, you know, we are going straight into that, because independence is not going to come without a war. Mr. Biya has an army, he has a treasury, and he has political diplomatic support that he will use. And if we are so strongly committed to our independence, we'll fight for it. And what do you have? There'll be no winner. We'll all be losers. I can guarantee you that. And I don't think Africa needs another set of losers. We can be winners, and I think we should be, by pressuring this government out, by ensuring that Mr. Biya does not run again at the polls next year. We have elections in Cameroon in 2018. Anybody who hears me tonight should take these words to heart. Mr. Biya should not be allowed to run again, because if he runs, they'll manipulate the system and he will win. But I don't think there's a single Cameroonian who wants this man in office at this time. Even the people close to him that I happen to know very well who do not think so. So, you know, the world should be helping us. The Voice of America, Radio France International, the BBC, CNN, Al Jazeera, you all, Shaka, should be helping us ensure that an 85-year-old man, he'll be 85 soon, does not continue to hold down the opportunities that exist in one of the most endowed countries. We can be different, and I hope we will be.
I'm sure that your brothers in Zimbabwe must also be listening with keen interest. Let's go to the lifeline of the show, and that is the telephone calls. Good evening, Ojera from Uganda. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Yes, Mr. Sakasale.
Yes, sir.
I have some serious concerns on democracy.
One question, please. One question.
There is the democracy. The democracy that is defined in theory is quite different from the democracy defined in practice in Africa, especially a country like Uganda, where I am and where you come from. The democracy that where constitution is supposed to be the fundamental working document that should protect the rights of the people is playing with left and right, a kid playing with a mother's brain.
I'm afraid the telephone is kind of like static, really.
Yes.
The telephone is kind of like static,
my
I'm afraid.
Is,
yes.
How can such bad form of democracy be restored where the people of the country can have faith in the way they're governed?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's go to Maurice from the Cameroon. Good evening, Maurice. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Hello.
Yeah, thank you very much. I can get you very well.
You're most welcome. What's your question, sir?
Yeah, please, my question goes to Eric Tilly. I would like you to ask him, why did he left the CRT?
Mm-hmm.
because it was some discrimination that she has seen. And he is not very clear on the Cameroon problem. He's like confusing. He does not have a clear and perfect explanation of what he's saying. Because I believe the Cameroon problem is not only based on language. Ask Mr. Arif why he left CRTV. If he explained that to you, you will understand that the English-speaking Cameroonians are really suffering. Because it is a fact which is very clear. But I see big banks in between those points. He is not very clear about that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Did you really get the gist of what he was saying?
Yes.
What did he say?
Yes.
He's asking why did Eric Chinger leave CRTV, that's a Cameroon radio television.
Erica, did you listen? Did you hear?
I'm sure he got him.
Yes, I heard that.
Answer it, please. Could you answer it?
It's a very easy answer. I mean, I left Cameroon because I had, I found reason to leave. One, I had to go back to school. I thought I needed more schooling and actually left Cameroon for Harvard, which I couldn't have turned down. I got a scholarship for that. I ended up after Harvard at the World Bank, and I thought I needed the kind of education you get from institutions like that. I did not leave Cameroon because I really wanted to leave Cameroon. I always believed I could stay in that country and try to change it from the inside. And everybody who knows my time in CRTV will know that I did a whole lot to try and change things from the inside, which I think is always important. No, I love the country too much. I've had opportunities to become a U.S. citizen, and I've never done that, again, out of pure love of country. And I, you know, that's why I get... I get emotional sometimes about my commitment to Cameroon, but I try not to let that cloud my own intellectual analytical processes. I try to make sure that I understand things as they really are, not what I would want them to be, but I move towards what I'd wish for Cameroon from where things are. And that's why I've identified issues I've identified about Cameroon. I've identified the problem of weak leadership. I've identified the problem of its culture and why our African culture should be such an important part of any argument we make. And it's important that Cameroonians take that into consideration. It's important that we look at the potential we have as a nation of 24 million as opposed to a nation of 5 million. There are 22 or 3 African countries that are 5 million population or less.
Thank you.
They are not going anywhere economically.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, brother. 30 seconds. Last word. 30 seconds. Last word.
Well,
30 seconds, please.
30 seconds. I think we should be looking at a program of exit from the present political problem. And the first thing is that if there must be dialogue, this dialogue cannot have a party to the conflict as one of the facilitators. We need either the AU, the African Union, and the United Nations to set up a team of eminent personalities to broker peace between the two of us. That is, the people of Southern Cameroon and the Republic of Cameroon.
On that note, thank you very much. Thanks to our two distinguished guests, Harmon Bobga Mbutoni and Eric Chinje, who joined us live via Skype from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Cameroon. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.